Hello, friends, and welcome to Speaking with Joy, a podcast about books, beauty, and music. Right now, you are listening to my special series on friendship. On February 5th, Girls Club, the book I wrote with my mom and sister, will be making its way into the world. It is a book about the profound importance of women's friendship. We believe that women flourish in community and that we need each other to grow, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. And in a world as lonely as ours, friendship isn't something frivolous. It's a profound thing and a necessary part of our lives. That is why we reached out to women we admire to discuss this profound and important topic. Over the next 3 weeks, I'm excited to share these interviews with you, and I hope that they encourage you as much as they have encouraged me. So make sure to purchase your copy of Girls Club, and then make yourself a cup of tea, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode of Speaking with Joy. Everybody, and welcome back to a special episode of Speaking with Joy. This is for all of my Patreon supporters, and I've been really excited about doing this episode with you because I'm going to be doing it with a friend. I have with me Ashley Coles on the line. Say hello, Ashley.
Hello, everyone. I love your podcast, Joy, so it's fun to be on here with your listeners.
Oh, it's so fun to have you, and I've kind of been plotting and scheming and trying to get you in some way on the podcast or on the Patreon for a while now, so it's fun that we're finally connecting to do this podcast. Now, let me give a little tiny background to Ashley. Our paths have kind of crossed meeting ways in several times in life. Oftentimes, we kind of almost miss each other. Wouldn't you say that, Ashley? We were both at St. Andrews, but at different times. And then both of us were part of the Anselm Society in Colorado Springs. But I think we only met for a little while before I moved and then you moved. So it's we've always had all these kind of similar interests, similar places, but we've only gotten to know each other briefly in all of those.
Yes, and I think there was actually one more even prior to all those where we were both at an Oxbridge with the C.S. Lewis Foundation a couple
right.
years even prior to Anselm and St. Andrews. So yes, it's kind of weird how many times our paths have crossed.
We have been chasing each other's shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
So Ashley is a friend. She is also an author. You've written two books now, or published two books now, right, Ashley?
Yes. That's correct.
And why don't you tell everyone a bit about your work and what you've done creatively and more about you?
Sure. Well, I write young adult and historical fiction, and I have two published novels, young adult novels. So I kind of pitch them as coming of age stories because I find that adult readers really, really enjoy them as well. And I try to, keep with those kind of broad, appealing coming of age themes. And those two novels are Beneath Wandering Stars, which is set on the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage route in Spain, and Below Northern Lights, which is set in Scotland.
I didn't realize it was set in Scotland.
It is, yes. That's pretty much what I do, is I love to travel, and so then I just, once I travel to a place, I try to write a novel about it.
Well, there you go. That's an excellent life choice. I read... is it Beneath Wandering Stars a couple of summers ago, and I enjoyed it so much. It is about, it is a coming of age of a girl walking the Camino, and there's love, and there's questions, and there's fear, and I remember us talking about, you went to St. Andrews as well to do a master's, but you did yours on pilgrimage, right? Am I making that up?
No, that's correct. I did a master's. I was very tempted to do the program you're doing, the theology, imagination, and the arts. But I ended up doing a master's in medieval history. And that, yes, was definitely rooted in my love of the concept of medieval pilgrimage.
Yeah, and St. Andrews is such a wonderful place to do that because the St. Andrews Cathedral, and I didn't realize this until I moved there after you told me that, but the St. Andrews Cathedral used to be one of the big pilgrimage sites in medieval Europe. And so it's a pretty special place to study that. But your knowledge of that definitely came out in fun ways in Beneath Wandering Stars.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, it was really, really delightful. And now that I know, I think I must have known that the other one was about Scotland, but it hadn't hit me. So now I have to go get that and read that.
But so Ashley is coming on today to discuss something that is really fun and interesting and also really useful. So my family has always been very into personality tests, partially because we are all very strong personalities, and it is a good way to help us understand others and understand our relationship to others, but also to kind of give us tools to think about what it looks like for us to flourish or grow in certain areas. So back in the day, my family were all Myers-Briggsers. And I would say that's our primary mode. My mom always says that doing the Myers-Briggs was the best thing for her marriage because she began to understand my dad and not take his INTJ-ness personally. Yeah, so we've always been to that, but today we're going to talk about something kind of different, which is the Enneagram, which I am kind of a noob in, so I'm excited to talk to you about this, Ashley, and we're going to talk about the Enneagram and what that looks like as you cultivate your creativity and also as you cultivate friendships. So, Ashley, why don't you just tell us a little more about the Enneagram, what it is, what it's about, and what we'll be chatting about today.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, the Myers-Briggs, that's a good comparison. That's I think that's a personality type or a personality test more of us are familiar with. And so if you're interested and have kind of read about your Myers-Briggs personality, then I think that the Enneagram is has some different features and a different focus, but it's definitely in that same vein. And it's a personality test based on 9 different types. And, you know, from what I'm no expert, but from what I, from my reading and my research, people claim that it is a pretty ancient, type of a way of typing different personalities, so kind of predates, you know, modern psychology. And what I find really interesting about the Enneagram, I first encountered it while working with a spiritual director, and she, encouraged me to take the test, and then we would talk about it in our sessions. And one of the things I think is unique about it, and maybe is slightly different from the Myers-Briggs, is the Enneagram really, it kind of focuses on a need, or a wound, or a vice, you know, however you want to put it. I felt like a lot of these personality tests tell us our strengths, and that's helpful. But one of the things that's interesting about the Enneagram is it really focuses on that need, that wound, that place where we really need to grow. And that's kind of one of the interesting aspects of it that makes it unique.
Well, and how someone described it to me is that it's your type is based on what primarily drives you, in the sense of what is your biggest fear and what is your biggest desire. And that was really helpful to me because it's kind of asking something different than Myers-Briggs is kind of, you know, where you are on a spectrum of extroversion or introversion, whatever. But to me, there are people that you can share a lot of similarities with who you might be very different from extroverted, introverted wise, because you share that similar wound or that similar desire or fear. So that was really kind of helpful for me to think about. Okay, so if we can remember them or maybe pull them up, what are the basic 9 types?
So the type 1 is the perfectionist. And I can just kind of describe it in terms of the need.
Yeah.
So type 1 is it's often phrased the reformer. That's a little bit more, maybe a more positive spin, but the need is to be perfect. Type 2 is the helper, the need to be needed. Type 3 is the achiever, the need to succeed. Type 4 is the romantic, the need to be special or unique. Type 5 is the investigator, the need to understand. Type 6 is, I'm blanking, the loyalist. Need to be certain. Type 7 is the enthusiast, the need to avoid pain. Type 8, I'm blanking on the name again.
I know what it is, I just can't think of what the name is.
Oh, it's the challenger.
Yeah.
It's the need to strive against something, to work against something, authority. And then type 9 is the peacemaker, the need to avoid.
Yes.
So those needs kind of need a bit more unpacking, but that's
the general idea.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, is it too personal to ask what you are on the Enneagram?
Not at all. So I am a type 5 with a pretty strong 4 wing. So mm-hmm. that's a whole other layer of the Enneagram, is you can kind of, you have a main type, but then they're what's called wings that kind of get it a little bit more specific, kind of like the Myers-Briggs with the letters. So I'm an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs mm-hmm. and a 5 on the Enneagram. So the investigator.
Okay. That's, yeah, and that's interesting. And that makes a lot of sense with everything that you've done with your writing, because it's both being an investigator, knowing things, but also it's also connecting.
Synthesizing. Like yeah. That's kind of what I love to do is learn about all these different areas and then synthesize them and bring them together. And yeah, I definitely think my fiction writing is an example of that. Like all my different interests and areas of life, they all kind of come together in stories.
Yeah, and I'm kind of confused about what I am. I have people in my life who are very opinionated. I have like 2 camps. One camp thinks I'm the reformer, so that's the need to be. I've heard it as like the need to be good, or the need to be perfect. Sense of, yeah, it's like a strong internal sense of what is right, and you kind of have a desire to bend the whole world towards that. And yes. I definitely have part of that in me. I definitely have the desire to bring harmony and justice and, you know. But I recently have begun to think that I might be more of a 7. And it's really funny. I was at a party the other night and a friend's mom walked up to me randomly and was like, "Do you do the Enneagram?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm a 1. And she was like, "No, you're not a 1. You're too fun." But I could see that too, because I think that a lot of what I do comes more out of a place of like enjoyment and delight. Mm-hmm. And I do the thing that is supposedly a 7, which is that you do a lot to distract. Like if you are in pain, you do a lot to distract yourself from pain.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that kind of, I read it the other day. And I was like, wow, this sounds a lot like me. So I don't know if you have any, do you think I'm a 1 or a 7, Ashley? Do you know me well enough?
I can definitely see both, but, and I think I was actually going to, when I was trying to guess, I thought 7. And what I found really helpful, because when I first took the Enneagram test, I was actually a 1, the reform. And then, you know, in later years when I've taken it again, it came up as pretty clear 5. And I think, you know, when you research the Enneagram and the personalities, a lot of different information will come up. But I found really focusing on that flaw kind of really defined it for me and helped clarify. So for the 5, and it's interesting how, you know, some versions of the test will phrase it in terms of you know, the 7 deadly sins, you know, these vices. And so the 5 is avarice. Greed, which I thought, I was like, what? I wouldn't say I struggle with like materialism or I just didn't quite understand what that meant. And then the more I looked into it, I realized it is like a hoarding impulse, but it's not necessarily material possession.
It's like knowledge and
competence. And for me in particular, it's time. So which is kind of interesting because, you know, thinking about like other tests, like the love language, love language is, you know, the 5 love languages, people are probably familiar with that. Mm-hmm. My love language is actually quality time. Hmm. So that's kind of interesting because it's something I highly value, and therefore I can be stingy with it, or I cannot, you know, sometimes I'm not the most generous with my time, because if I'm going to share that precious time with others, I want to make sure it's quality and it's with people I really care about.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a helpful way. And then I really was like, yep.
That makes sense.
that is very clear that I'm 5.
That's like when I looked at the, when I look at the 7, it says, you know, their fear is pain. And I was like, what? I'm like super in touch with the darkness of the world. But then as I read it more, it was kind of like you tend, anyway, it made a lot of sense to me. I think the other thing I like about the Enneagram is that it's built on a scale to think about your growth. So it looks at what you look like when you become healthier and what you look like when you become less healthy. And I think that's why I find things like this useful. You know, no personality test is a panacea. Nothing is a replacement for doing the hard work of, you know, working your faith and walking with people. But these are all kind of tools that help us think about who we are and what it looks like for us to grow in health. And that's really kind of been useful for me as I've thought through it. And I think that connects to the wonderful guide that you put together. So let's talk about that first. What was kind of your goal when you put together this lovely guide on Everybody's Creative? Is that what it's called? Everyone's Creative or something like that?
Yeah, you are creative.
There we go.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a teacher. I teach, I've taught, you know, philosophy courses for college students, and currently I teach writing courses online for high school students. And especially with writing, I sometimes have students who are very enthusiastic writers, and they love stories and fiction in particular, and so it's no problem to get them excited and enthusiastic about writing. But then I always have, you know, you always hear from students who will say things like, well, I'm just not creative. And I've heard that, you know, not just from teenagers, not just from students, but from a lot of different people. And I don't agree. You know, I think that, you know, being creative is part of what it means to be a human being, that is how, you know, as beings made in the image of God, that is how we were designed to be sub-creators, as Tolkien would put it, to make beautiful things. It's going to look differently, and not all of us are necessarily going to be professional artists, but, you know, whether someone loves gardening or cooking or scrapbooking or, you know, plays an instrument, you know, I think all of us have creative capacity, and sometimes we just need to uncover it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so your guide kind of looks at what it looks like for each personality to be creative and to grow in creativity, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was the idea. I started thinking about the Enneagram in terms, you know, those both the strengths, but also those needs or wounds or weaknesses, and how they might apply to the creative life, and how, especially, you know, the things that maybe stop someone from uncovering their creativity or living it out.
Yeah, and I think that it's interesting because you made some really good points in there about how some personalities, like probably mine, the thing that will impede our creativity is like the excess of creativity. You know, that you have to kind of choose one thing, and I think that was really useful. So everybody should go look at that. And also, I think I'll try to attach a link in the post about where you could take the Enneagram and learn a little bit more so you can kind of type yourself. But I would also love, I'm going to ask you something else. Ashley and I got our time zones mixed up, so I'm trying to get her, I want to get all of her wisdom out before she has to go. So I wanted to ask you one other thing, which is when you think about the Enneagram in terms of friendship, this month we're launching our book Girls Club, which is all about cultivating important friendships and how we need that, how similarly to what you're saying about creativity, I think that we are created, we are meant to be in relationship, and that God's attitude towards us is a movement towards friendship, but also that we can't flourish without the context of relationships and friendships that call us to everything God meant us to be. And in the same way that I think there are things that hinder each personality and creativity, I think there are things that hinder and help us grow in friendship. And so what would you say, let's use a seven. We'll use me. I was going to pick you, then I thought that might be kind of mean. What would you say, when you think about that, what do you think it looks like to kind of think through growth towards friendship in a personality way, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's okay. That's interesting. Well, just a little bit more generally, I think it's very helpful, a tool like the Enneagram, because you start to realize that when people do things differently from how you do them, it's not coming from, not necessarily coming from a bad place.
Yes.
Or you start to just understand why people are, you know, how they're wired and why they perceive things and act certain ways.
And it helps you not attribute motives to things wrongly.
Yeah.
It helps you kind of give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay, I'm just kind of creating a scenario in my head, but let's say if I had a really good friend who was a seven, and I think I do, one of my best friends is a seven, this person likely has, I would guess, a lot of relationships, a lot of friendships, a lot of passions and interest, and moves in circles with people in all different areas of life, because they're enthusiastic about everything. And so I would, one way, knowing that about this friend that could maybe help us grow as friends would be that if this friend, if I'm not their one go-to person, or if they have a lot of relationships that they're trying to balance and give, people enough time and energy, I could maybe learn not to take it personally, that it isn't that they don't want to spend time with me or need me, but that they, that
That's how
they are
that's
an
how they run.
enthusiast. Yeah,
Yes.
they are wired to engage with a lot of different people in a lot of different areas of life. On the seven side, knowing that about themselves, maybe they could be aware that they
They
might
can't
have
be
to.
everyone's best friend.
Yeah, and just go the take some extra steps, and those people that are really close to them, making sure that they are aware that they are important to them, and that just because they have lots of relationships doesn't mean that their relationship with you isn't significant.
Yeah, that's a really helpful thing, and on a very practical, personal level. I just Skyped with one of my friends yesterday, who's the first person who introduced me to the Enneagram, and I believe she is an eight. So we have this very interesting relationship because I think I'm a seven wing eight, and she's an eight. And it's funny because I think when she first met me, she was like, "Oh my gosh, does she sleep? Is she okay? She's always active." But yesterday we were talking, and she was asking about my life, and I said, "We're launching the book," and I said, "I don't know. Someday I won't be crazy. Someday I won't be busy." And she said, "Joy, that's not true. You're always going to be crazy and busy, and I just see it as my role as your friend to call you to places of rest and insanity in the midst of that." And it was funny because it made me feel very loved because I realized that she kind of realistically saw me for what I was, and could accept me for that, while also seeing her role as an equally kind of powerful person, even though she's not as widespread, if that makes sense, to kind of play that role in my life. And that means a lot to me. And I think is a lot of what friendship is. It's learning to both say yes to who people are and all of their issues and all of their, idiosyncrasies and weaknesses, and strengths, but also learning to become people that can draw each other towards health. And I think that's something you kind of learn after a long time of friendship. But that was really meaningful to me, and I think is kind of a good example of how beginning to accept and know somebody's personality, but also being a friend who can call each other out towards further strength is really useful.
That is, yeah, and that's such a good way to put it, that friends are people who can draw each other towards growth. And I think that's one of the ways that the Enneagram can be very helpful. A lot of personality tests, right now there's all kinds of things on the internet about how wonderful it is to be an introvert. And I'm as a pretty hardcore introvert, it can be very gratifying to see things like that. But I need my husband sometimes, my five self that wants to live up in my head and not talk to people. Like he can pull me out of that and pull me back into the real world with three-dimensional human beings. And I think you're exactly right that we need people in our lives who honor who we are, but will still pull us towards areas of growth.
Well, and I think that's also a good thing too, because I think that one of the tendencies, like you're saying, with personality tests is just to be like, "Oh, I'm just this way. Like,
Yeah,
this is my
exactly.
personality.
This
I
is who I
can't
am.
change." And the thing is that I don't think that's helpful. And if we use that as a reason to stay where we are, if I never kind of control my ENFP self, ENFPJ, whatever I am, if I never control my seven self, then I will become scattered and exhausted. And so part of what's useful to me about personality test is being able to have self-knowledge that leads me towards growth, not self-knowledge that just kind of, you know, lets me be whoever I want to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, well, Ashley, we could talk for an hour more, but I know that you have to go. So let me, before we go, tell people where they can find your stuff, your work, your life, your books.
Sure. Well, you can find everything at my website, which is ashleycoles.com, and that's Ashley with two E's. And, you know, I'm on Instagram and most social media platforms as well.
Grand. Well, thank you so much. This is so fun. And I am so glad that we have chased each other's shadows and that from time to time we even get to encounter each other.
Thanks so much, Joy. I love talking with you. It was a lot of fun.
Yes. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you have a grand day.
Thank you for listening to this special Girls Club episode of Speaking with Joy. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please leave a rating and review on iTunes. And don't forget to purchase your copy of Girls Club anywhere books are sold.